All right, everybody. So I've had a lot of people reach out to me, giving me a lot of support for signing the People in Tech podcast. And I want to really first say thank you for supporting me. But this Anchor platform has been amazing and been changing my life, getting me connected with some people in this industry that I never thought I would actually get to not only have conversations with, but learn from. And I know some of you who are tuning in are asking, Caleb, how did you start a podcast? You know, when I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other places people listen to? How do I make money from my podcast? Well, keep it simple. The answer to every one of these questions is Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free. And we ridiculously easy to use. My very first episode I did for my iPhone 6 Plus. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors too. So you can get paid to do your own podcast. Hop on the Anchor platform so we can collaborate and build this community up. You know, one thing I love most about Anchor is that they're constantly being innovative, you know, allowing podcasts to leverage music, get sponsorship, get paid, and ultimately be the best content creator you can be. So if you've always wanted to start your podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and a diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Hey, Caleb, what are the top skills in 2019?
Have you ever Phil.
Are you listening?
You're listening to the People in Tech podcast, a technology show that's made for the people. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, Day One listeners? Welcome back to the show. We got an exciting episode for you in store today. We're going to be talking about the top 10 skills in demand in 2019. Of course, this is the tech podcast. So we're going to be talking about tech skills, but some of them are people skills. So I'm just going to give you top 10. We're going to do it traditional, just running each bullet point as we go. It's going to be a fun episode. And the reason I want to do today's episode is because it's 2019. We're about to enter 2020. You know, I went to school and my degree is already out to date. You probably went to school and you're probably questioning, are my skills even up to date? Can I stay employed? Am I even relevant? We're going to dive into all that. Let's get into it.
Put them up.
Turn it up.
Yeah.
You're now rocking with DJ Side Hustle.
You're now rocking with the best.
Don't forget to sign up for your membership on our site, peopleintech.us.
Check us out online, baby.
Exclusive content dropping every week.
It turns out that professionals are keenly interested in learning new skills, which makes us deliriously happy. And learning tends to spike in January, as people start the year focused on building new habits. But here's the challenge: there are at least 50,000 professional skills in the world, according to LinkedIn data. 50,000. If you're like us, you probably have time to learn a few skills this month. That begs the question, of those 50,000 skills you could potentially learn, which should you learn today to help you stand out all year? These are the skills your boss and your boss's boss find most valuable, but have a hard time finding in the skills that'll most help you better serve your clients and customers. So consider this post your guide to the skills most worth learning in 2019.
Thank you, Sharon, for giving that great, lovely explanation. So yes, we are going to be talking about top 10 skills. Now, we're talking about hard skills. And the reason I'm going with the hard skills over the soft skills is because this is a tech podcast. And a lot of you come to this show, the Day One supporters, the Day One listeners, you come here because you want to hear about tech. Whether you want to hear about the content, the topic, things going on in industry, or maybe you just love to hear my lovely voice. I appreciate all my fans. But enough of me talking, let's just jump right into it. Hard skills you need most in 2019. And some of you have been asking me, do I have a team? Of course I have a team, because I do not have the time, nor do I want to do the research to come up with these amazing content-filled episodes. But the skills on this list reflect the impact
of an increasingly digital world. Yes, that means a spike in cloud computing, AI, but also means a spike in improving that digital experience. Things like user experience, user design, web development, etc. Digital is also giving us new uses for these skills. For example, there's an increased demand for audio production. When I started my podcast, I've said it several times on this show, especially last week's episode. If you didn't check it out, how to start a podcast, you need to start. But audio production, video editing, people are making money off YouTube. YouTube is now a job. But guess what? You just can't start YouTubing. You have to know how to edit and you know how to, you know, make your videos seem of quality and things of that nature. So let's jump into the list. At number one, cloud computing. Now, I don't want to go into a long conversation about what is cloud computing, because some of you have an idea and some of you don't. But let me just keep it simple for my day one supporters. When I think cloud computing, I'm thinking about services like Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud Platform, DigitalOcean, Microsoft Azure. Now, if you don't know what any of those are, quick Google search will tell you. But reason cloud computing is just not only a critical skill, most companies, startup, mid-size, large corporations, are moving to the cloud. And one of the benefits of the cloud is scalability. Back in the old days, if I build an app, if I build a website, if I built anything, you just have to buy the hardware yourself, have to set up the hardware, which means you have to understand how the hardware works, and then on top of that, build the software to make that work. That was a nightmare. But with things like AWS, Google Cloud, and these types of cloud services, you can almost not have to do any of that hard work. You can really be like, I'm just going to build a simple website, I'm going to build a simple app, or maybe I want to do IoT, I want to have Internet of Things, I want to have something that flashes after somebody does this on their phone. AWS, Google, they have tools literally made to make those things easier. If you're working at an organization or a company, they are moving to the cloud because they want to be able to scale. They want to be able to handle an outage, whether it's on the East Coast, West Coast, whatever. So ultimately what I'm trying to say, why it matters in one sentence. As the world rushes towards the cloud, companies are desperately searching for engineers who have the skill to accommodate this demand. Really, if you want to get started with cloud computing, go on AWS's site, go on Google Cloud Platform site, and just start playing around. There's also certificates for you to pursue. And if you're looking for a job, if you want to stay employable, if you want to be ahead of the curve, get certified as an AWS architect, engineer, solution engineer, whatever it is, it'll pay off. Number two, let me just make an announcement real quick. So some of you know I'm right now finishing up my master's in cybersecurity, and I really thought I wanted to get my PhD in cybersecurity. But after going through a year program, you're kind of like, man, I see what a good cybersecurity program is about, and I might still have an interest in it, but I kind of wanted to get into it to learn how to hack, and now I've learned hacking is, there's a lot more to it than I thought. But cybersecurity introduced me to number two, artificial intelligence. Now, when you hear AI, I mean, come on, guys, like, we hear AI everywhere. Literally, you hear everybody talk about, we need more artificial intelligence. Now, when I think artificial intelligence, it's artificial intelligence foundations, neural networks, machine learning and AI foundation, classification modeling. If you don't know what those things are, quick Google search will help you out. But all I'm really trying to say is, AI is the future. Now, let me just give you a few data points on AI. AI skills are among the fastest growing skills on LinkedIn, with a 190% increase in AI skills on LinkedIn from 2015 to 2017. Industries with more AI skills present amongst their workforce are also the fastest changing industries. Countries with the highest penetration of AI skills in the United States are China, India, Israel, and Germany. Here's the bigger point. AI has already transformed several industries, like mine, software, another very popular one, finance, and we all know AI is messing up manufacturing. Those fields were the very first to adopt AI, but now nearly all industries are adopting AI in one form or another. And that will cause a massive change within those industries as well. So you might be asking yourself, Caleb, I want to get into AI too. How do I thrive in a world of AI? And again, you're probably listening to me and thinking, okay, what do I do? Will a computer steal my job? How do I stay relevant? Day one listeners, the good news is that AI won't mean the removal of massive jobs, but it will mean the transformation of millions of jobs, requiring workers to learn new skills to thrive in them. What I get very frustrated when we talk about computers taking over the world is computers are dumb. They only do what we tell them to do. So if you're not good with a computer, and it's 2019, you need to at least start playing with the computer. We are already seeing that happen in software and finance industries where AI is ubiquitous. Other fields will soon experience the same transformation. We just have to wait their turn. I kind of look at it like, if you work at a company and you use Slack, you might love Slack as a communication tool. But if you go to a company and you're still on Skype, if you're still just emailing everything, at some point you're going to get Slack or you're going to get some better chat tool. But it always seems like you might be 2 to 3 years behind. The other thing I want to say before moving on to our next point. First and foremost, making learning part of your routine is essential. AI is not something you learn in a day. It requires a plethora of skills. But the best piece of advice I can give you guys in terms of AI is focus on mastering the soft skill. The skills AI would never be able to displace are the ones that are uniquely human. So if you're talking about, I want to keep my job, you know, this is about human interaction. It means skills like thinking strategically, collaborative, effectively, prioritizing efficiently, managing others. Don't get me wrong, hard skills are great, but we still work with people. So make sure those people skills are top notch. Now, I don't want to make this an AI episode, of course. So I just want to make it clear, like, AI is the way of the future. Now, going into number 3, since I've talked enough about artificial intelligence, analytical reasoning. Now, you might be asking, analytical reasoning, why does that matter? Well, in one sentence, because I kind of like doing this one sentence thing. As they collect more data than ever, companies are hungry for professionals who can make smart decisions based off analytics. Now, you might be hearing terms like business intelligence. You might be hearing data engineers. You might also be hearing some neutrally exclusive, but also they kind of cross barriers when people talk about AI machine learning, but ultimately, you need to be able to look at data and present that to stakeholders. One of the things I've learned in my career, and I think we've all probably experienced it, is a lot of people don't want to trust you based off feeling. They want to have numbers to back up your decisions, back up your reasoning. So all I'm trying to say is be analytical. If you are making an argument, don't try to win the argument by talking louder than the person. Have facts, have numbers, because you can't fight those. And understand that leveraging that information can help you make better decisions. You'd be surprised, a lot of people make decisions off their gut feeling. Don't be that person. Become analytical. Now you might be asking, like, how do I do that? There's plenty of courses online, day one listeners. Making decisions, decision-making strategy, executive decision-making. There's levels to decision-making. As a software developer, my job might be to write code, but my other part of my job is working with other developers. And sometimes I have to make the decision, of drawing a line in the sand and saying, I can only help you so much, but I understand I need to complete my task, because that, in my eyes, an analytical reasoning going on in my head. I'm thinking, if I can complete my task, I can make sure I have my ducks in a row. And then if I do that, then I can help you get your ducks in a row. If we as a team are trying to figure out a strategy how to move forward, I don't want to say Facebook or Google does it, we should do that. A lot of companies do that, and it bothers the crap out of me. But a lot of companies will say, Google's doing it this way, Netflix does it that way, Amazon does it that way, so we're trying to be like them. But it has to make sense, and that's really all it comes down to. Now, I want to turn it a little bit. We've been talking about technical skills so far, but this one's very important. Number 4, people management. Now, why people management is important. In one sentence, God, I really love this. In one sentence, the world has changed from a command and control model toward leaders who can coach and empower a difficult skill set few professionals possess. Now, let me just give you a quick side anecdote on this. My very first boss was complete utter trash. She was horrible. Nice person, but a horrible boss, because she was a control person. She wanted to have absolute control over things she didn't have control over. And what bothered her is she didn't have control over something, she would just start losing her shit. I'm just going to keep it simple. Now, one of the things I really didn't like working for her was I never felt like she cared about my growth, and I never felt like she cared about making me a better employee. And I'm not saying it's her responsibility, but that's why I never liked her as a boss. Because, see, I didn't find out she was a bad boss until after the fact. The first, like, 6-9 months, I thought she was pretty cool. But then I started realizing, like, man, she's kind of a bitch. And then I started talking to other coworkers, and I'm like, dude, I can't believe you worked for her. I would have quit a while ago. I'm like, oh, so it's not just me. What I learned through that experience, because the way I look at it, every experience you either learn from, you pretty much learn something from every experience, right? But really what I'm trying to say is people management leaders are empowering employees. They are finding ways to motivate and engage your employees. Managing team conflict, leading with a purpose. And you'd be very surprised. You work at a startup, you might have somebody who's in a leader position and they don't know anything about people. You might work at a large company and they took a course on leadership, so they do everything by the book, and you're almost like, I feel like you're just following the book, but I also don't think that's effective. You'll see what I'm talking about throughout your career if you haven't already. Ultimately, what I'm trying to say is people management is truly a hard skill, because especially in the tech world, you have a lot of people who are technical, but they don't want to deal with people, or they don't want to communicate, or they can't communicate, or they're not effective communicators. When you are looking for leaders, you're looking for managers, you're looking for directors and VPs, you want somebody who can make decisions that, again, are analytical, but also consider the people involved. Let me give you a quick example. I was on a team in one of my roles, and you know, I thought this was hilarious because everybody was talking about, we need to get this done. This is top priority. We need to get this done. It's the most important thing right now. Instead of using a team that's been established, let's just put together some people who've never worked together and get this done. That would be quick, because then we don't have to take away people from other work. I'm sure from an analytical standpoint, you're like, yeah, I'm actually saving resources by only pulling a few from different areas and having them focus on something. That's great. But I don't think that decision was made thinking like, well, how does that affect the people? What are their personalities like? How are they going to mesh as a team? Sometimes managers don't care. They're just making the decisions, but it affects the people they work with. So you want to empower your employees again. You want to make them feel as if they are valued, because it's a very known fact. If an employee feels like a company cares for them, that employee would do more for the company. Now, enough of that tangent. Going into number 5. Shout out to all the designers out there, but UX design. For those of you who don't know what UX is, user experience, UX for short. But in one word, in one sentence, I mean, UX design is a key to making the digital world work for humans. When you go to a website now, whether you are technical or not, if the website is trash, you will leave that website. If the website looked like it was built in 1994, you will leave that website. If you go to an app and it looks like it's from 2007 on the iPhone 3 or the very first Android operating system, you will not only delete that app, but you will trash that app and talk bad about it. User experience is very, very critical. For those of you who are looking for side hustles, which I'm going to do an episode on pretty soon, top 5 side hustles to make $1,000 to $20,000 a month. Legit. But going back to this real quick, for those of you who are doing side hustles, let's say you're doing a Shopify site, maybe you're doing drop shipping, maybe you have a print-on-demand t-shirt store, you understand that there's a lot of t-shirts out there. There's a lot of people who do exactly what you do. So it's very important for when your users go to your site, it is very clear and simple that I'm trying to sell X product. You buy one, you get half off on the second. This is how you apply a coupon. This is where you check out. Those things need to be 1, 2, 3, simple. One of the reasons Amazon UX is so impressive is that they just made it as easy as possible for you to buy something. They even have the one-click checkout now. You can literally add, you don't even have to add it to a cart. You literally see one product, hit one button, and it will be in your door in 2 days if you have Amazon Prime. That is part of user experience. So ultimately, remember, it's about making it easier for the person to interact with whatever it is you're presenting to them. Which leads me into Drake number 6, mobile application development. Now, it's very known fact, mobile is the way of the future. I would say a few years ago, companies like Facebook, Twitter, and now companies like Snapchat and Uber and Airbnb, they understood that, look, the web app is important, but we gotta get this mobile thing down. Because the reality is more people spend more time on their phones. Some people don't even have a computer anymore because they can get everything from their phone. I have a lawyer who I was like, hey, do you have internet? He's like, no, I have an iPhone. I was like, you don't have internet? He's like, I can literally do everything on my phone. If I can't do it on my phone, I can do it in my office. And I was like, well, damn, I guess you're right. Now, he's a little old. He's a little bit more old school. I'm not saying this is pre-Netflix, but I just remember he made that statement. I was like, well, makes sense. Mobile applications, I mean, they're not going away anytime soon. Now, what I would say why it matters, a skill that has been in demand for several years as companies continue to design mobile-first platforms. I'm sure all of us have downloaded that one app and you're like, this sucks. Why is this so bad? And it comes from like a huge company, and I can tell you why. When you work at a very large company, you have a lot of people. You have a lot of cooks in the kitchen. When you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen, you can't really make the decisions like you would if there was only one cook. It is what it is. Now, what I would like to say, some of you always complain, Caleb, I don't have time. Where am I going to learn this? I can't pay for Udemy. I can't pay for any of that crap. And I like to say, forget all that. It's 2019. There is a lot of free content on YouTube. There is now LinkedIn Learning. There is free Codecamp. But if you want to get into mobile development, I would say in 2019, start playing with React Native, iOS 12, fundamentals of mobile development architecture. Start playing with Kotlin for Android, Java for Android, and start small. Make a simple app. You know how many people come up to me and they have an app idea, and I'm like, dude, if you just learn basics of how to create an app, like, think about it. Let's say you got 50 to 60% of an app done by working your tail off for like 2 to 3 months. Then you can hire somebody like me who can just make that thing awesome and put a bow on top. And then guess what? You have an app. Another thing about mobile application development, let me tell you what I'm working on right now. I am working on my very first iOS game. It's going to be called Zoolympics. And the idea behind it is you will be a character, an animal, and you're going to be doing the triple jump like you were in the Olympics. Very simple game, but one of the reasons I'm doing it, because one, I want to expand my skill set and have a game in my portfolio and something to share for fun. But ultimately, it is one of the best ways to make side income, because the way you can monetize a mobile app is crazy. I don't go on a huge tangent, but think of it like this. Most apps, most video games you download, they're free. If they are free, they have ads. But then they'll prompt you, you hate these ads? $2.99, get rid of ads. Cool. $2.99, $3, I spent money on worse things. Then you buy the game. Oh, you still like the game, guess what? It's gonna be like, hey, if you want to do the season pass where you get some premium content every, let's say, 30 to 60 days, you only have to pay another $5 a month. And you're like, $5 every 30 to 60 days? I spent money on worse. This times that by 5 to 100 people downloading an app. All you did is set it up once. So, very lucrative area. Going into number 7. Which is something I am working on myself. Video production. Why it matters in one sentence. Come on. YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion. Demand for video production is spiking as video streaming represents 70% of all consumer internet traffic. How many of your friends are posting Instagram stories? How many of your friends are on Snapchat posting videos? How many people are doing Facebook videos? Videos get attention. Higher quality videos get attention. I still laugh because if you look at the Vine stars, like King Batch, Amanda Cerny, you know, Logan, the list goes on and on. You look at those people. They started on Vine, 6-second videos. Now you look at them, now they're all signed with agencies. And one of the reasons they're still able to make millions is that they have great video production because they figured out how to do it. Now, you can do it relatively cheap. And in 2019, if you got a brand new phone, Pixel, iPhone, you know, LG, any of those top phones, you can get started. Like, no joke. There's movies on Netflix that they filmed exclusively on an iPhone. No kidding. So my advice would be recommended courses. Foundations of Video, The Art of Editing, Video Foundations, Camera and Shooting, Web Video and Business, Creating a Web Series. These are things you can Google on YouTube, on LinkedIn, to help you get started. Video can be intimidating, but starting a podcast is intimidating, and we're 18 months in, and we're averaging about 1,000 downloads an episode because of you awesome day one supporters, and each episode gets better because I get better at editing. Then the team gets better at editing. They get better at finding content. DJ Side Hustle is finally gaining some DJ skills. No, I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. Chill. But you guys know what I'm saying. Number 9. Translation. Let's just be real. Yo hablo español muy poquito. Why it matters in one sentence. We are more connected globally than ever. With translation skills breaking down one of the last remaining barriers of language. We ultimately need to be able to communicate. If you can speak, like I'm upset because I grew up in a time where learning Spanish was kind of the thing, but unless you went overseas, which means you had to have money, which wasn't me, you weren't going to learn Spanish. Unless you really were in an environment where, like, I'm going to learn Spanish. But I feel like in the future, kids should be learning 2 to 3 languages. Because the world is global. The fact that I'm able, you know, let me give you a fun fact. Back in the 80s, if the president of the United States wanted to get in contact with somebody across the world, it would take them, I believe, 5 to 7 minutes to get into contact with, say, somebody, like, from China. In 2019... if somebody like Miley Cyrus posts an Instagram pic, she connects to the whole world, America and China, in less than a second. So, you might want to be able to translate you know, your advertisements. You want to be able to understand what people are saying. Maybe you have an idea and you want to go worldwide. It's good to know another language. Which comes up to number 10. And you know I had to add this one to the list. Audio production. Why it matters in one sentence. Similar to video. There's been a spike in interest. And guess what? Podcasts. And of course, other audio digital formats. But podcasts are growing exponentially. Like I said in the last episode, you are leaving money on the table by not doing a podcast. I love doing this podcast, and it takes me about, to be honest with you, 35 minutes to do an episode. Legit. Once you figure it out, once you have a little team, you don't even need a team. Maybe you're like a do-it-yourself person. Once you figure out how to do this, it is so easy. Because you just get a microphone, you stare at it, and you just talk into it. And once you understand how to make audio work, how to make yourself sound better, how to create a lovely voice like we do on the People in Tech podcast, then the future is yours. I mean, let's be real. I mean, podcasts are the way of the future. People are trying to be content creators. Gary Vee always talks about, like, you want to be in a situation where 5-10 years from now, kids are watching your videos and you're like, I was grinding back then, I'm grinding even harder now. I mean, let's be real. Like, you need to be putting out content if you want to be, like I said, an entrepreneur in 2019. So I hope you enjoyed the list, top 10 skills. I try to keep it short and concise. We got more content coming soon. We're going to be having a few more interviews coming up. Ooh, if you sticked around this long, for all my crypto fans, check it out. I've been working on a side project. It's finally up. It's called Coin Stories. That's CoinStories.com. Leave a link in the description. But if you want to know anything about Bitcoin, because guess what? It's going back up. And it's not going to be stopping anytime soon. Don't believe me? Just go check it out. Go check out Coin Stories. Read some articles about why it's happening. I wanted to make a blog. I wanted to make some content for you guys to start figuring out, dude, what's going on with crypto? Should I get it? Should I get out? Where do I start? So, coinstories.com, link in the description. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. That's all I got for you today. I'm out. Peace. Peace.